Good evening, everyone, and thank you, as always, for joining us. A somber start to the show this week, but appropriate that we remember Penfold. One of two who have passed away this week, Operator 88, who joined us on events as far back as 2015, is also being remembered fondly by friends far and wide. Both enjoyed the fun, the silliness, and the sense of companionship that came from their hobbies in their free time, and, as usual, we'll be doing our very best to carry on that throughout this evening. As ever, my companions on this evening's journey are ready with their headlines and content for the week. I'm Rudolf Hucker, and I'm joined once again by...
Harry Balzac.
Will my finger do?
The Apology Officer.
And Norma Snookers.
Our radio names should give you a little warning about the style of what's coming up next, but here goes with this week's headlines.
Two legs good, more legs better. We look ahead at the Odyssey.
Things have got really, really silly with Hutton's latest expansion.
Gone goals on Going for Gold 2.
Small, medium at large in Spooky Space Seance.
Galtwit bars lay radio, age 7 3/4.
Voice pack attack in Polygon Postal Incident.
Hutton update and Colonia in a right old state.
And Hutton's update on everyone else's state.
After last week's wild speculation about the GT Edition Scarab, the atmospheric Cabriolet SRV for going topless in tenuous atmospheres, and the Buckyball SR I've Got a Turbo buggy, the latest media releases have opened the lid on a new aspect of the galaxy's forthcoming Big Odyssey once again. Multi-crew. The magic means by which pilots can project their presence into a seat not that far from your own appears to be getting an upgrade. Yes, your ship, whether it be a little Lacon 6 or the giant lawn dart that is the Anaconda, is being licensed to allow other people in the cockpit. Yes, real people. Poke them and they go, ow. Due to safety concerns to date, your cockpit, whilst designed for multiple people, including additional comfy chairs, coffee machine and reading material in the netting to the side of the seat, has limited access to the pilot. A complicated series of hard light holo projectors have allowed fellow pilots from across the galaxy to beam themselves aboard and take control of vital ship functions such as that extra pip, the turrets if fitted, and of course, telepresence to one of the ship-launched fighters. With the advent of space legs, tenuous atmospheres, and fellow commanders needing to hitch a lift back home after being stranded on planets, media reports indicate that they'll actually be allowed to join you in your cockpit. What's more, your wings can now have legs. Yes, you can provide aerial cover for your passenger once they disembark. A few warnings, though. Please avoid crushing your freshly disembarked passenger under the bulk of your suggestively shaped sausage ship. Firing your pocket pop gun at passing ships is very likely to end up being on the receiving end of a railgun shot, and a sneeze cannon to the knee isn't the kind of excuse that a mission giver is likely to accept as a reasonable one for being late. Dropping your passenger on a planet out near Beagle Point and then flying off sniggering will be considered the height of bad manners. Very funny, though. There are rumours that handheld weaponry to prevent one-sided ship-to-shore action may include shoulder-mounted cascade cannons, pocket rockets, and everyone's favourite, the graffiti beam, used for carving your initials on the ship that's about to squish you like a bug. What's the first thing that will go through your mind when a plummeting vulture hits you going 400 meters per second? Likely it'll be its canopy.
That Hutton's standing order when it comes to expansion is don't. We're too close to Sol, and way too close to any other Pilots Federation registered groups, and going somewhere else is likely to end up in an exchange of views down some dark alley somewhere that will end up in the political equivalent of A&E, with a black eye, and cartilage in your nose that goes crunch, crunch, crunch when you blow it. The Hot Pit team, aided by the system custodians, do everything they can to keep systems under the magic number that appears to cause automatic cloning of our faction NPC management team and their eviction to a nearby system. There is an exception, of course. If we find somewhere with a really, really silly name, that's very Hutton. It's why we're in Haghole. It's why we took over Bonkers. Unfortunately, it appears that Hutton's NPCs took this a little literally and treated it like a tinfoil behatted mission worthy of the Hunt for Raxla, or the latest canon interstellar search and research romp. Unable to find anywhere called Silly, they tried VV Silly and RR Silly before sitting down with their alphabet blocks and Alvin's preschool primer. Yes, we know that C can be pronounced softly, as in the word cease and in the middle of a cancel, and not hard as in complete clod or concrete sandals. But in a case of Ofri, worthy of a muggy, they decided that silly could be written C-A-E-L-I. And yes, there's an R-R, Saley. Which has led us to a situation where we've had to get the apology officer to contact the political team over at the Leviathan Scout Regiment and offer full and abject apologies on behalf of Alvin for not only being silly in silly, but propagating an immediate war against one of the local factions. Under an ambassadorial agreement, Hutton R, with the assistance of the LSR's more shooty commanders, attempting to round up all the Hutton NPCs in the war zones and then send them without trial to the Naughty Step, where they'll be reminded that when spelling silly, E comes before A, even after C, and that scrubbing cubicle 3 with your toothbrush is a really, really nasty punishment. We'd like to thank Admiral XXHide840XX, TechNation87, and DJ Skywolf for their understanding in this matter, and our resolve to GTFO as soon as humanly possible.
Congratulations are due to Canon Interstellar, winners of the most recent gold award for exploration with a staggering total. Now it's our time, and yes, we're going for broke, breaking out the exploration ships and honk scoop jumping our way from Earthlike to Earthlike in the hopes that Hutton can emulate their experience. Hutton commanders have been seen putting the final touches on their ships, polishing their mighty jumper condors and hauling their asp out of storage, ready to bag anything they can find en route to the trophy. A new set of data has been published of high-value systems near the bubble, as well as one for Colonia, though you're not exactly spoiled for choice out there at the moment. To take part in this epic endeavour, you want to scan as much as you can, make sure you're in the Hutton Squadron, and of course have installed the Hutton Helper from hot.forthemug.com. When it comes to selling your data, anywhere counts, but the locations can sometimes be important. You want to sell for as much as you can, so investigate whether the local BGS give you a bonus boost to your value. The jury is out whether that particular market helps, but try your efforts to Li Long Rui, yes, that means power play, and achieving a rank 5 status can mean you get double bubble for your trouble. In the meantime, truckers, get honking and we'll raid the prize cabinet for some awards once and if we manage to raise the trophy.
Reports have come in of some weird goings on in the Call 285 sector, which Hutton is determined to investigate. We've put together a crack team of paranormal investigators from Hutton Orbital and will be heading out there shortly in an effort to solve the mystery. The team includes that old lady from the parade who reads your fortune for 10 credits. She gets them off a Galvanite, you know.
No, I don't.
That weird-looking guy who hangs around at McThargoid's offering to rebalance people's chakras.
No, I don't.
A budget clone's for you super saver clone who was decanted too early and swears she can talk to Trumbles.
I can, you know.
And friend Federico, who hasn't moved, blinked, or spoken since 3301. No, you haven't. Led by Commander O'Kayam, the team will conduct a scientific survey of the site to ensure that the truth comes out. O'Kayam said, "We are following the science on this and taking a no-expenses-incurred approach." Equipment, including a Ouija board, a 5-pack of woodbines...
I'm trying to give them up.
A selection of musical instruments made from suggestively shaped vegetables...
I'm trying to give them up.
Thermal probinators...
I'm not giving up my probinators.
A cat that smells of vapour up, an economy pack of Snuggle McKee's Lucky Charms for protection, an old sofa which someone once dumped, and more hakey tea than I've ever seen in one place has already been loaded in preparation for the journey. The intrepid science team are in high spirits, having already taken part in a farewell hakey tea ceremony and have dismissed warnings to stay away from the system and the strange goings on there. We at Hutton News must be more cautious, however, and advise that no commander should approach call 285 sector NPWA31-3. If you do find yourself in call 285 sector NPWA31-3, then whatever you do, you should not approach Moon 6A and definitely should not investigate what you find there. Commander Sham 295 was the first commander on site, and now we can't find one of his slippers. Be warned.
Does anyone want their chakras balanced? Eddie Lee Wise, tailor amongst the stars and Lave Station resident, has fallen victim to his latest product release. Not content with cutting his cloth, with the aid of his wife Barbs and his husband Ken, to bring out the very best in every commander and cut a dashing figure, he appears to have launched a new beauty range targeted at the pilot who wants to, quite literally, take years off their image. Whilst it hasn't been unknown for pilots to use the wonders of Holo-Me technology to remove the odd wrinkle, or give themselves a suck, tuck and pluck to keep their youthful figure, Eddie's latest invention performs your beauty regimen at a microscopic level, putting lippy and a good foundation on your very DNA. As a hands-on flat cap wearing donkey jacket toting kind of guy, Eddie used his experimental cream on himself first, hoping to recapture some of the rugged, steeplejack looks of his youth. Which, we're led to believe, is where it all started to go wrong. Having experienced hair loss in some places and strange hair growth in others earlier in his life, the cream's immediate effect was to reverse both of them, giving him flowing locks and a chin as smooth as a 0.1G docking computer lead landing. The effects didn't stop there. He found new energy, a trim new waistline, and the reversal of years of abuse of his body. But it carried on. His voting patterns have gone from pension-hoarding right, through angry, hard-working left, and right out the other side into hippie student Green Party. He's shrunk in all dimensions, and to all intents and purposes, this titan of tailoring now more closely resembles Eddie Jr., age 7 3/4. His voice has unbroken. He went through a phase of terrible acne and has complained of frequent cases of premature detonation every time someone wiggles their asp in front of him. This, however, has been the least of his problems. As a temporary keyholder for Lave Radio, he found that station bosses rejected his ID at the checkpoint and promptly locked him out of the studio, telling him that he's far too young to hear that sort of thing and to run along and get his mum to come back with a note. And no, Eddie, a scrawled piece of paper saying, "Eddie's excused PE this week as he's got a bit of a cold," isn't what they're looking for. Nurse Wyeth has been called and is attempting every ageing treatment she can come up with, including soaking him in cold tea, scrunching him up and then ironing him to make him look well used, burning his edges with a candle to give him that just escaped from a combat zone vibe, and of course rubbing him with castor oil and specially developed ageing liniment at every opportunity, attempting to bring back his lumbago. Station dietitians are attempting to force-feed him the richest of foods to bring back his gout, and he's been gargling with gravel and cigar ash to try and bring back his usual gruff northern tones. We wish Eddie well. Anyone who has purchased some Lave brand anti-aging cream is advised not to rub it on any part of their anatomy for fear that even mild doses might cause them to actually de-evolve to a more primitive form and take up PvP.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Okay, Haxwing. The Alliance is building bases out in the Coalsack Nebula, and they need AX pilots to push old Tharg back and protect the cargo ships bringing in the supplies. From Commodore Halloran's bulletin, sounds like if we give them a good push out now, they won't cause as much havoc to the Coalsack stations in the future. You'll be looking for non-human signal sources in Coalsack sector systems KN-S-B4-9 and VU-O-B6-6, and Muska Dark Region systems, IM-V-C2-24, and P6-P-B6-1. Let's only hope they change the names of those systems once their station's there. Threat 3 and 4 non-human signal sources will have scouts only. You can take those on with AX multi-cannons, which can be picked up at any planet-side military base. Threats 5 and higher will be Thargoid interceptors, scouts, or a mix of both. You'll only want to take those on if you've got a well-engineered AX combat ship. Be sure to sell your combat bonds at the Spirit of Nysa megaship to let the Alliance know just how much we did for them. I hear there's a special bonus if you're one of the top-earning pilots. Good luck out there, Commanders. Watch your six and keep an eye on the signal sources.
Hexcom message complete. Defend the mug.
End encrypted transmission.
HCS Voice Pack Systems. Galactically renowned kidnappers of the rich and famous from film and the telly have released an urgent appeal for all pilots to beware the parrot, Finn, their captive Norwegian Blue, and the voice behind the robotic cockpit cracker, munching companion, the ship's parrot Mark III, has escaped his cage and has gone on a rampage. It's rumoured that the Norwegian cobalt Blue is very much alive and incredibly angry at his long-term incarceration with nothing but a microphone for company and the voice of HCS maestro Paul on repeat saying, "Can we just do one more take, please? This time with a little more feeling." Finn was last seen at Hutton Orbital, having hitched a lift on a passing dolphin, and all residents of the station are advised not to approach, as the polly's gone postal and pecking anything that comes within range. Hang on. What's that flapping noise?
Ah, cock-a-doodle friggin' do!
Norma! The bloody parrot's loose in the studio!
Wanna fight?
He's got me by my... that's smart! Get off!
Abbott!
Somebody get security in here in the double!
I'm sorry, listener. We appear to be experiencing some technical difficulties.
That's more like it. Somebody in body armour. Quick! Grab it before it reaches the desk!
I'm gonna kill the parrot.
Red alert! We're all gonna die! Game over! Game over!
Oh, man. What did you do?
Clean that one up.
It's dead! No, it's not pretending, waiting to bite you. Look at it. It's an ex-parrot. It's flown off to meet its maker. If it wasn't nailed to the wall by your dart gun, it would be pushing up the daisies. Yes, yes, I know it's only a robot, but really? Next time, try a net.
Hey, does it hurt? You know, when you try to think.
It's okay. Emergency over, everyone. Please disregard the warnings.
Filthy Hutton trucking mollusk! I'm not dead, just resting.
Oh, no, someone else take over, I'm off.
I know Kung Fu.
I hate you!
Shut your face, hippie.
Well, since Lou got arrested for starting a riot on the Lord Rotunda by singing karaoke last night, his Shirley Bassey back catalogue, if you must know, I suppose it's down to me to have a go at the BGS bit. Okay, so let's have a look at what's in the BGS box this week and see what we have here.
Wanna fight?
No, leave me alone. Oh, we've expanded into RR Sealy, but the stations are all painted in institutional green and baby food beige inside, so we just don't want it. Just pretend you didn't see it and leave well alone. We need work in Barnard Star, Epsilon Eridani, Epsilon Indy, Haiko, Kokari, and Stein 2051. They don't need much of it, but they do need a little bit of work. And a little bit goes a long way. Helpasi and Van Manen Star could do with a wee tickle too. Do not touch LHS 340, whatever you do. It'll hunt me down like a duck if you do. We are cruising very close to expansion in the following systems. Alpha Centauri.
Red alert! We're all going to die! Game over! Game over!
Somebody shut that parrot up. That'll do. We're cruising very close to expansion in the following systems. Alpha Centauri, LP245-10, PSPL LF2, WISE 0855-0714, and Wolf 124. Leave these systems alone. LP525-39 is dangerously close to expansion, so work against Hutton there if you can. And so to Colononia. All the stuff is broken in EO Procol Centauri after King Hanky spilled a big mug of something wet and fizzy all over the reactor console, triggering infrastructure failure. Infrastructure-y things. Infrastructure failure is properly serious, so let's get this one sorted. Mission running and passenger missions for hot call systems is good. Cash in your exploration data in EO Procol Centauri. Dollar depot in tier only. And buy low, sell high in our systems. If in doubt, then contact King Hanky. At least, I think that's right. If I'm wrong and it all goes pear-shaped in the next few days, well, at least Lou will have something to do when he gets back next week.
It's time for Norma's Knowledge Nuggets now, as I bring you up to date with what's happening in events organised by you, the members of this great community. Graham and Kay has given us a concise, nay, pithy update on Wolf Hunt. Nothing really changed on the hunt for Wolf 562. It's on the back burner for now. Current goal is to take over Narnia and find out what's in the wardrobe. And this Going for Gold version 2 is the main thing going on. Oh, we've expanded again. But we don't want it because it smells and we are going to lose the expansion war. We lose, we leave.
Wanna fight?
No. Next we have Speedball 4. Which is going to be on the 21st and 22nd of November. And this update comes from Commander Primetime Casual, bringing us up to date on the extensive preparations for the event and adding a plus one to the count for mentions of Alec Turner in community events. BBRC member and almost but not quite winner of the 8-wheel championship, Alec Turner, arrived and showcased the beauty of the event location system. On the matter of which ship to take, the all-time top 10 are dominated by Vipers. But for newcomers, a ship like the Hauler or Adder might be easier. There's also a run for the fastest large-size ship, with Commander Iceman Asbo 27 having tested his Corvette to 3,512 metres a second successfully. In a newly founded category, if you intend to run a completely E-rated Sidewinder, there's a special ranking in the Side E class. The event organisers want to remind everyone that the Litherwake will depart HR 6164 on Friday the 13th, heading to 61 Virginis to pick up any participants who are in need of a lift. The return trip to the View starts on Monday 16th, 1900 UTC. And special thanks to Phoebia, who provided the brilliant speed calculator at http://photonique.hu/sbsc/calculating that the top speed achievable during this event will be 3,671 metres a second. Let's see if that is indeed the limit. It's nearly time for Expedition Mercury's wings to set off on November the 22nd. An expedition from the amazing canyons of Paresh in the bubble all the way to the far side of the galaxy, through over 60,000 light years of beautiful space and on a voyage to explore new star systems. All the while taking the DSSA's new fleet carrier, Shepherd's Dream, to its resting place in the outer Scutum Centaurus arm in the galactic northwest. But before that, on November the 15th, the pre-launch meeting is happening in system, which head sector DL-Y, D22 and on body 1A. The meetup's landing zone will be announced nearer the time. The meetup will start at 1900 in-game time. This will be a pre-launch meetup for everybody to get to know each other and for some fun and games. Remember to bring your exploration ships and SRVs with you. I look forward to seeing you all there. If you're not already signed up with the expedition, please do this on the EDSM website under expeditions. Details at bit.ly Mercury Swings, including their Discord link. Our own apology officer is organising an event that happens tomorrow. If you're listening to the podcast, you may be too late. Hotbox Go to the Ruins, a Going for Gold 2 event. Details on the Hutton Facebook events page. Join Team Hotbox as we do our bit for Going for Gold 2. As part of the new initiative for Hutton Squadron to work towards Exploration Gold, Hotbox are taking a trip out to the Hawkins Gap Alpha site, which lies at approximately 10,000 light years from the bubble. PLAA AEC IZ-N C20-1 Planet A1A at coordinates 25.0029 21.5814. This will give us lots of opportunities to discover new systems, planets, and maybe even the odd life form or two. Once there, commanders can scan the data points, gather logs, and pick up some manufactured engineer maths. I'm organising Hotbox, but of course, PC and PS4 commanders are welcome to come along. You will have to organise yourselves, though. Also, it's Friday the 13th. What could possibly go wrong?
I love you!
I don't love you.
I mean it.
Organised by a Frenchman, but being run in English kindly take into account the linguistic abilities of the average English speaker, La Grande Expedition 3306, also known as the Great Expedition 3306, is a long exploration trip organised every year by the Remlock community. This year we plan to start from Plangura for a course of 83.8 kilo light years. As always, the GE will offer a red line story to follow and various activities through the expedition to support our pilots. Departure from Pangloria on November 27th at 8 p.m. UTC, which is 8 p.m. London, 9 p.m. Paris, 3 p.m. Quebec. Maximum date of arrival at Bragurum Dieu, January the 10th at 10 p.m. UTC and London, 11 p.m. Paris and 5 p.m. Quebec. This fourth great expedition will offer activities and stories in an experienced group of veterans. Mini games throughout the expedition to encourage activity and win prizes, some of which are unique and only available during events supported by Frontier Developments. Fantastic views both on the surface and in space. Rare points of interest to discover solo or in a group, and great memories with the Remlock community. Details on EDSM include their Discord invite, and we have created a link to make it easy for you to find. bit.ly/GE3306. That's a capital G and a capital E. If you get that bit wrong, don't blame us if we get taken to a page featuring scantily clad models. No, stop that. Don't go and check now. Stay here. What are you lot like? As always, if you're organising an event in game, get in touch and we'll tell everyone about it in a future show.
Right! I'm not your friend!
Shut it!